It's time to think big with Big Alaska guests, big Alaska adventures, and no good lying through your tooth tall Alaska tales. It's the Big Alaska Show. Broadcasting from the studios of a remote cabin outside Bolchitna and streamed worldwide at KFQD.com with podcasts streamed at BigAlaskaShow.com. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve and some Big Alaska Show friends. Author from Blazing Hearts Romance Novel Series, it's Lolo Page joining us. And joining Lolo, author of Nathan Active Mystery Series, the one, the only Stan Jones is in the house. Designed to raise your spirits and not your blood pressure, unless you're a guy named Mike Ford. Good morning, everyone. It's the Big Alaska Show.
And good morning, and thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. I'm Uncle Steve, along with my good buddy and co-host, Mike Ford. We have a book review section at BigAlaskaShow.com. And this book review section features Alaskan authors for the most part, their books, it has links, and really cool interview podcast with them. Last week, we had two authors, Andy Hall and Mike Gordon, who had written books about Denali. And this week, we have Lolo Page and Stan Jones. Lolo Page writes her Blazing Hearts series romance novels that take place within the firefighting wildfire industry, which she has a background in. And then Stan Jones writes mystery novels for the most part. Stan spent time living in Kotzebue up in the bush and rural area. And so he has that influence, and he's also brought that down stateside. And we haven't talked to them for a while, and so what we thought we'd do is get a little update of how things are going, and we're going to play a couple of clips from their previous podcasts, from previous books, so you have an idea of what we're talking about. Thanks for everybody joining us in the Big Alaska Show, but of course, Mike, we'd be remiss if we didn't start the Big Alaska Show out the right way.
That's right, we never let Harley near this coffee.
Folks, the key to doing an early morning radio show, especially an early Saturday morning radio show, is a strong cup of coffee. And there's no stronger cup of Joe than Big Alaska Show Blend, the intense early morning coffee for intense early morning indigestion. That's why it's preferred coffee for Alaskan authors. Writing is no easy task, and waking up early to put words together that actually make sense sometimes requires a little motivational attitude adjustment. Enter Big Alaska Show Blend to the rescue. Just one sip of this caffeine-packed pile of dirt jumpstarts wordsmiths with an energetic boost to generate flowing phrases that may not make any more sense, but will certainly blister the ears of the censors. Bitter biting with a specific gravity of basalt. Big Alaska Show Blend. The intense early morning coffee for intense early morning gas.
Pour me a cup. It's time to get up and face the world, my
And that's how we roll here at the Big Alaska Show. But stick around, we have more Big Alaska Show coming up. And you can hear our show streamed and get podcasts at BigAlaskaShow.com.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Neighbors Windows and Doors. They're Alaska's window experts for windows, doors, shower doors, affordable glass replacement. Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tunnel or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. Our show is broadcast every Saturday morning, 9:05 to 10 a.m. That's Alaska time. From KFQD 103.7 FM or 750 AM. We also stream during that time at KFQD.com, and you can find our podcasts at BigAlaskaShow.com. We're featuring a couple of our authors you'll find in our Big Alaska Show book review section, and it's a special day for one of them.
Oh.
In fact, we have not one, but two special birthdays today.
Oh, my goodness. Did you get the talcum powder for your hands?
No. In fact, I've thought about talcum powder, but I think sort of the rustic approach is...
What, sawdust?
Actually, sawdust would work really well. Anyway, so these are two birthdays. Two people that are very special in my life, friends of mine, is Stan Jones, who's on this show today.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And it's his birthday. The other birthday is our buddy down in North Carolina, Perry Alexander.
Oh, my gosh. Both on the same day.
Both on the same day. Rather than doing a duet, I think it's important that we dedicate each one specifically to that person.
Okay.
The downside of that is... usually I can barely get through one.
Well, what if I say one name and you say the other? Aren't we in stereo? They could listen. One could listen on the left side and one could listen on the right side. You just got to clue them in. Send them a text.
So
that's why I'm in your life, man. I come up with those $1 million ideas.
You do come up with those $1 million idea. This is for Stan Jones. He's an author, longtime Alaskan, and he's on today's show. This is going to surprise Stan Jones.
Oh, good.
So this is for you on this special day, Stan Jones.
Stan Jones.
Stan Jones. God, that's brutal.
Stan Jones.
You can tell I've been washing my hands.
It's good. Stan Jones.
Stan Jones. Here's the bet.
Wow.
Happy birthday, Stan Jones.
You get any better than that, does it?
No. My hands.
He can play that back at the party.
Boy, this is the jingle for your poop on a stick commercial. Perry won't know what the heck we were playing. Got it.
You know, Perry's been through enough trauma down there.
Just when you've gone through Helene, and now you've got
this.
You got some bad wind coming your way.
Oh,
okay.
My gosh.
So what I've done is I've been waving my hands around trying to air dry them.
It's so, very entertaining, too. I'm sorry you can't see this at home, folks.
I know. It looks like I'm just flailing out.
I expect him to fly out of that chair at any second.
Anyway. Perry Alexander is a good friend of ours. He does a lot of editing for videos I do. He's an extremely talented man, and he lives back east. His work has been seen all over the state here in Alaska. And so here we go. This is for Perry Alexander. Perry, I'm sorry my hands are wet, but you know, here at the Big Alaska Show, it's one take when it's live.
Perry Alexander. Oh, my gosh.
Perry Alexander.
Perry Alexander.
Oh, you think I should dry my hands off and do a better one?
No, I think he'll be impressed.
That's why I have Mike do quality control of my work I release it.
You get what you pay for, pal.
Yeah, really. Stan Jones, Perry Alexander, love you guys. Happy birthday from the Big Alaska Show.
This is the stuff the internet was designed for.
Absolutely. This, you want to go viral?
Here I thought cat videos were the rage.
Yeah. Here's a great interview with our guests, Lolo Page and Stan Jones. Our guests are authors. You can find their works on our Big Alaska Show book review section at BigAlaskaShow.com. We've got Lolo Page and we've got Stan Jones. I'm so glad to see my good friends again. Let's give a warm Big Alaska Show welcome to Lolo Page and Stan Jones.
Hello.
Yay. We're playing a little bit of podcast we have of you that's on our website and on our book review section on some of the books you've been involved in. What I thought I'd do is just catch up with you both because I haven't talked to you in such a long time, especially you, Stan. It seems the only time I ever see you is when we're both getting mail.
Post office, yeah, yeah.
And I did see you at when Kim Rich was doing her book at the writer's block.
And she's coming back this summer, by the way.
Oh, good, good. Anyway, I just want to catch up with you both and see what you're up to. Let's start with you, Lolo.
Sure.
You realize that is, I think Lolo is past tense of Lola.
Yeah, it could be, I suppose.
I've seen some posts. I can never tell if you've written new books or you're getting new awards or both. So update me what's been going on here in your literary world that you've been working in here.
Yeah, well, I'm still writing. I'm still pushing to get the next book out in my series, the firefighter series that I started back in 2020. You know, it takes, with all my research and everything I'm doing, on the average, I do one a year, basically, because I like to take my time with those. And there's so much going on now, especially with what happened in California, and I'm paying extra special attention to things that are, quite frankly, educational while I'm trying to entertain at the same time. I've had readers thank me for that, saying, you know, I'm really glad I read your books because now when I watch Fire Country or I see the news on TV, I know what that means. I know what Pulaski is. I know what all that stuff means. And So, you know, I'm really glad that I can help out in that way.
For people to understand, your background, is it wildfires or firefighting? I mean, you went to college for this stuff.
Yeah, a little bit, way back when I lived in Montana, you know, and it was part of the forestry curriculum. And then up here in Anchorage, when I got on with the Bureau of Land Management, then they had a fire program, and I signed up for that. And it was a lot of fun. It really was. It was a lot of hard work, of course. Back then, I was in better shape.
Well, weren't we all? But you were around the industry, and so you're able to incorporate that into your, you know, Blazing Heart series. And
And you know, and I've expanded too because they always tell you when you're starting out as a new author, stay in your own lane. You know, once you establish a branding on a certain niche that you're writing in, you know, stick with it. Well, I am, but also I had all that experience doing stage comedies and doing the films when they came to Anchorage, as we've talked about in the past. And I wanted to write some romantic comedies based on some of the experiences I had doing that. And so I put out, one, two, three of those. And then Wild Rose Press published two of them. And so I've been doing that. Oh, and then I've jumped into historical fiction under a different pen name. So I'm doing that book now.
Is that as Lola Page?
No, that'll be under my real maiden name, Lois Page. So that'll be under that. It's basically just, it's a book set in the 60s. And I'm doing it for my classmates who wanted me to write this forever. And they said, what are you going to write about us? And I'm like, okay, I'll do it. So it's with my editor in Montana and she's helping me with it. And, cause it's set in Montana. And so, I hope to have that out sometime this spring. Hmm. I'm on the final edits now on that one. And that's called the Butte Girls Club.
Nobody's going to call it that. When you see the word Butte, you don't think Butte.
I know. It's the butt of all jokes.
We got Valentine's coming up, and I noticed, what was the thing? Was it Cupid's, what is it?
Cupid's Kerfuffle. Yes, what I did was, that was for an anthology that I was in with some other authors, where you get together and then everybody writes a short story and you put it in, you compile it into an anthology, you throw it up on Amazon. Well, they only have those basically for 90 days at a time. So after that, you get your rights back. And then you can do whatever you want with the short story. So I put it up on Amazon for 99 cents. And it's also, I use it as a magnet to draw people in to my other books. Basically, all I did was I just wrote a Valentine's story with the Anchorage Fire Department. They were doing a fundraiser for breast cancer and they wanted a pink fire engine. And so I wrote this story where the fireman was doing singing telegrams, and he went to the wrong house, got the address wrong. And his boss told him, make it really spicy. You know, you might take your shirt off or something, you know, make it worth the while. So he goes out to a retirement home in South Anchorage, thinking it's the right address, but it wasn't. It was the wrong address. So these old ladies open the door, and he starts in with his let me entertain you routine, right? So, yeah, and then the story just goes from there. And
That's
then,
brilliant.
Of course, there's a young woman in there who's the granddaughter, one of the old ladies. I wrote it as a comedy with all these ladies just, you know, hitting on this guy and all that. It was really... I thought it was funny. I laughed while I was writing it. So that's got to be a good sign.
That is a good sign.
Like the Big Alaska Show, we have laugh tracks. We've got rim shots and laugh tracks for cues for people who don't, you know, find it as funny.
We always get laughs.
Yeah.
You have audiobooks, right?
I just have one that I did with the first book. I haven't really worked on that with the others. I will. To get a narrator, you have to audition the narrators and all of that, and it's not cheap. It's quite expensive to do. There is a controversy out there about whether to use AI voices or narrators, and I haven't even gotten up to that point yet.
Well, let me give you an alternative. Mike Ford and I, we only charge for the words that we get correct.
Okay, so you want to narrate a romance?
Yeah, you know, it'll be cheap.
Yeah.
Because we only do one take, baby. So how'd you like your book going to an audiobook?
I liked it a lot because the way that the actress, she was an actress, the way that she read it was really different from how I had it in my brain. But it sounded good. I mean, it sounded really good.
Yeah.
It's really weird to hear somebody writing words you wrote. It's just strange. I had that same feeling when I had a play being staged at the Last Frontier Theater Conference, and people are up there on stage and they're reading words that I wrote. It's just really weird. But I loved it, but it's just really weird.
It comes out differently than when, I hear you. You know, let's bring Stan into this. Stan, while she was talking about that, I was thinking of Kim Rich, friends of ours, who wrote the book Johnny's Girl. And when she goes to graduate school, they're making a made-for-television movie that has Treat Williams in it. And how interesting that must have been. First of all, you're going as a graduate person. You know, most people are interning, and here she comes in as rock star status. I remember talking to her about that, just how odd to watch somebody making a movie about your dad. But anyway, so Stan, catching up with you, man, I haven't talked to you in quite a while. The last time we really did anything on the Big Alaska Show, you had reviewed the book, it's Two Old Women.
A fabulous book.
That's one of those books that sort of quietly sneaks up from behind and hits you with a sledgehammer.
Yeah, one of the permanent Alaska books, you know?
Yeah.
It's on our book review section at BigAlaskaShow.com. And Stan, your background, how much time did you spend up in the bush?
I lived in Kotzebue for a total of probably 5 years in two different stretches.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my kids was born there. So that's a relatively brief time, but it really made an impression on me. And I've stayed in touch with the place ever since. And we go back twice a year now, once on the 4th of July and once in April for the start of the Kobuk 440 sled dog race. Huh. Still have a few friends up there. I mean, most of the people who were around when I was there have moved on by now, but you know, I do keep in touch. It's a fascinating place.
You rode a lot around that lifestyle. What took you up to Kotzebue?
Curiosity and the desire to live in the Alaska bush. In fact, I got a job with the FAA as a air traffic controller at the flight service station level.
Oh my
just
gosh.
So I could go live in the bush.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't know that.
While you were up there, were you riding?
I did a little journalism up there. I didn't start writing mystery novels until a few years, well, quite a while after we left. I thought about doing it for a long time, but I finally got the time and the headspace to do it. And the first one came out in 1999.
I've seen posts of yours, and you actually had more stuff going on than I knew. Here I mocked you, and only to discover I would insert the other foot in my mouth. You and Lois just recently, you guys did a book signing.
We did back in December at Tidal Wave.
Yeah, tell us about it. Were you featuring a book you had written?
Well, all of them, actually. There's 8 mysteries now, so they were all out there. I think maybe I even brought along an oil spill book I wrote back after the Exxon Valdez.
Oh, that is this all with that same, your recurring characters, as I recall?
The protagonist of the Nathan Active series, the Bush series, is a guy named Nathan Active. And then I have this new series set in Palm Springs with a female private investigator named Dana Forsyth.
Oh, wow.
And I think of that as the Desertopia series because it's set in the Coachella Valley, and at the north end of that valley is Palm Springs, which is, you know, rich and comfortable and nice. And at the opposite end, there's a huge dying lake called the Salton Sea and a bunch of rotting resort communities around it on the shore. There's a giant homeless camp called Slab City and a weird desert shrine called Salvation Mountain. When I saw that part of the Coachella Valley, it reminded me a lot of, in some ways, of the Alaska Bush. So I said, well, I should write a series set down here. So I have one out and one nearing the finish line.
I didn't realize you'd written that many. How'd your book signing go?
There
were always
fun.
People at Stan's table. Always. He had a lot of people that came up and wanted to talk to him.
The thing you hope for at a book signing is people wandering by. Because, you know, you could sell quite a few books and not make a lot of money. And it takes up 3 or 4 hours of your day. And particularly at Tidal Wave, I mean, God bless them. I'm glad they're here. But they sell out of their used stock in the store, mostly. And when you're the author and you sign one of your books out of their used stock in the store, guess how much you make off of that? Zero.
Yeah.
So it's pro bono, basically. But it is fun because people can't come by.
It is a lot of fun. And you see, and people, you know, I have friends that just happened to come in there and went, you're here.
I mean, there's nothing like a book signing in the last couple of weeks before Christmas because everybody is out shopping. And when you have that friend, you can't think of anything to get them. Well, what do you get them? You get them a book, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Here's a nice book and you have it signed. So, yeah, it's good.
There was one guy that came up and he goes, my mom loves Nora Roberts. He goes, what are your books like? And I said, well, you know what? I've had people tell me that I have a similar style to her. And he goes, oh, good. He says, let me get the series. He bought all the books in my series. So that was cool.
Sort of like, you know, how perfumes or colognes, they have a generic version that's almost as good, you know.
So when Lolo and I were at the Tidal Wave signing, somebody came up and they wanted to buy one of my books. So I pulled it off the stack there. And this was all put together by Tidal Wave. So I pulled it off the stack and opened it. And I had already signed it. Somebody bought it. I signed it. They read it. And then they brought it to Tidal Wave. Tidal Wave resold it. I said, oh, my God, what do I do now? This person wants this book signed. So I got their name and said, you know, for Joe.
Yeah.
Wrote that above my name.
The first one is you get your signature. The second one is you have dedication. It's almost like you need a stamp that when people, you know, after it's sort of like, you know, when you go eat somewhere, you get a punch card. Stan, talking about going back to this Dana Forsyth character, how has it been to transition from, I mean, you said they were similar to remind you of the Bush, but transitioning into the lower 48 after all so much time of your experience growing up and living in Alaska, how big a transition is that for you as a writer?
Well, here's how this came about. The reason I started going down there is I had a friend who I met in the 7th grade at Clark Junior High, right here in Anchorage. And very late in life, for the first time in his life, he met and fell in love and got married. This happened when he was in his 70s. So he and his wife invited me down there to visit him, you know, and hang out. And I was prepared to be warm but bored because that was my impression of Palm Springs. And it was really pleasant and not too exciting until we went down to the end of the valley and saw what I think of as the Netherlands down there, just the tail end of the world.
Stan, is that behind the San Jacinto Mountain there? Is it back? Is it, I don't know, my east, west, north, south on that. But I remember I took a tram ride up there. Where is it in proximity to that?
Well, the tram ride is kind of at the north end of the Coachella Valley before you go over the rise and really sort of head down towards L.A. So the other stuff I'm talking about is in the opposite direction. if you went downhill from the tram ride for about 80 miles, you'd start to run into all this stuff.
Oh.
So the contrast was just so striking. All this rich, luxurious pleasure at one end and all this despair and poverty and drugs and crime at the other end and pollution, amazing pollution. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it was just irresistible. So as it happens, I have a son who has a screenwriting degree from USC and he lives in Los Angeles. He is now writing a screen adaptation of this series, which we hope will one day become a streaming series.
That would be cool.
Because of the way streamers name their titles, it'd probably be called Dana as opposed to Desertopia, but that's fine.
Yeah.
So it's been an interesting process to work with him on this script and think about how you tell a story on the screen versus how you tell it on the page.
Yes.
It's mm-hmm. fascinating and illuminating and educational for me.
Yeah, that
no exposition in a screenplay because it's visual.
And he came up with some twists in the plot and complications in a different order in which to expose things or narrate things. But yeah, I found absolutely fascinating. And while we're on the subject of All in the Family, Paul made an audiobook of one of the Nathan Active books. The most recent one, which was called Ghostlight. So
yes.
We were, you know, he was here for Christmas. We were all sitting around and kind of gabbing about different projects and how it'd be nice to have an audiobook of the first Desert book, which is called The Sand Garden. And my wife said, I could do it. So now my wife is recording an audiobook of The Sand Garden.
This is awesome.
That's written, great.
It's written in female first person narration, so you can't have a guy record that book. And my wife has a nice voice for that purpose, so she's recording it, and Paul is going to produce it because he knows how to do that stuff.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Do you ever clash with him on creative interp?
In the screenplay?
Yeah, I mean, just it's his thing, I guess. But
well, that's kind of been my take on it. My question to myself was, well, Stan Jones, are you a screenwriter? No, you're not. You're a novelist. I mean, I've written a couple of screenplays, but I have never tried to adapt my own work. And he is, so I want to respect that. Plus, given the father-son relationship, I don't want to get in his head about this and have him always thinking, well, what's Dad going to say about this? You know. Mm-hmm.
No, good for you. Good for you.
Trying to keep my hand. But I did make one suggestion. Now, maybe this happens with you too, Lolo. But every now and again, a phrase gets into my head, and I just have to put it somewhere in a book.
Yes, I do that too.
So I said to Paul, this is not a request. But if it should happen that it's somewhere in this script, you could have a character say something along the lines of, oh, yeah, I trust you about like I'd trust gas station sushi. Please do that. I begged him to put it in. I don't know if he's going to do it or not. I'm not going to criticize him.
It's like the audio version that audio engineers in movies and TV, they always like to put in the Wilhelm scream. By the way, if you've never seen the Wilhelm scream, if you type in Wilhelm scream in like YouTube, you'll get 5 to 10 minutes of every movie in production where you'll hear, and once you start hearing it, you'll hear it for the rest of your life. You know.
Now, what is the Wilhelm reference?
There was a Western, like a 1955 old black and white Western, something that was like Wilhelm Rides Again. These cowboys are riding. One of the guys, he's got his pipe that he's filling, and the guy says, "Hey, Wilhelm, hurry up!" And Wilhelm says, "I'll be right there. I'm just finishing my pipe." And this Indian comes up from behind this rock and shoots an arrow, and it lands right in Wilhelm's thigh. And he goes, ah! So anyway, when I turned Mike Ford on to it, our co-host, I mean, he played it to death in the very beginning. I had to make him stop, but it's on our, the intro of our, you know, he says,
I like it.
Are those
the screams that Jamie Lee Curtis started out doing with Halloween? Well, she did a lot of screaming in the early days.
Yeah.
Were those Wilhelms? I don't know.
So now, speaking of old movies, Steve, are you familiar with a classic work of comedy called It's a Mad, 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 Mad World?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, that, that has one of the greatest lines. It's not a line. It's a little speech. And something bad happens. And Milton Berle says, well, these things happen. And Ethel Merman, who I wish could have lived forever, because she was so magnificent. She says, yes. And the reason they happen is that when they happen, people just say, well, these things happen. And then they happen.
There's so many great little things in it.
I know. Well, recently, just this past weekend, in fact, I watched it with this young guy that I hang out with, because his grandma said to me, she has custody of him, would you spend some time with him? He needs an adult male in his life. So we've been doing this for a few years. And we watch movies together, and he always wants to watch space operas mainly. Hmm. So I said, why don't we alternate? I'll watch one of yours, you watch one of mine.
Oh, that's cool.
So my pick was this movie. And I wondered if he'd like it, because he's raised on a completely different kind of movie.
Yes. Yeah.
He absolutely loved it.
Interesting. Yeah. That's cool.
An irresistible movie.
This is what I love about the Big Alaska Show is, you know, it's just a...
How'd we get here, right?
ADD kind of thing. Squirrel. Yeah. So, Stan, you have more plans for Dana Forsythe.
Yes, indeed. So, on number two in that series is in the works. It's called Exit Sideways. And the layout is this. There's this gorgeous young trophy wife who has a rich old husband and a prenup that says she has to keep her BMI below 122. And she also has a lover in the person of her golf instructor. And at the start of the book, in the space of 3 days, both of these guys in her life end up dead, and she's charged with both murders. So it's up to our hero, Dana Forsythe, to figure out what really happened.
And maybe you could incorporate who is the actress you mentioned on the Mad World?
Ethel Merman.
Ethel, yeah. Maybe you could incorporate that.
There's a reason these things. That's right. Why these things? Well, I'm looking for a slot to put in gas station sushi.
And for you, Lolo, what's anything going on?
I have Alaska Firestorm is on pre-order. That'll be in June. I have it halfway written. I'm getting this other Butte book out first, and then I'm going to finish that. So, yeah, and that'll be book four in the series. People have a lot of interest in that. The setting is going to be closer to home here. In this one, I get into a little bit more on state, federal, local, municipal. What happens when there's a fire, say, on the hillside or in East Anchorage, and how that's approached. And so I have talked to people in the different areas of that. Of course, in fiction, you know, you can kind of do what you want with all that. But
yeah.
See, it's a lot of fun. This time I have a marine tanker pilot for the protagonist instead of a regular firefighter female. So she's the air tanker. There's a couple female air tankers that work out of California. They are amazing. They're young, and they have already put in all the hours and everything. And I've been doing a lot of reading about them. I just became fascinated about the whole aerial firefighting.
Can I tell a research story, Steve?
Absolutely.
All right. So in this book I'm working on now, there comes a time when our sleuth Dana wants to match a bullet to a gun that was used in a murder. So the way she figures out to do it is go to a home firing range inside the mansion of a Palm Springs millionaire and dig around out of the backstop and see if it matches the one in the victim's body, right? And then if it matches, she's going to the cops and say, hey, I solved your case for you, and it wasn't my client who did it. So you'd think that would be simple. Get a bullet out of a backstop, right? You couldn't be more wrong, because I started researching on it and I contacted an expert. Number one lesson is no metal backstops. No bullet is anything but shreds if it hits a metal backstop. Well, how about a rubber backstop? And I wanted to use a .44 Magnum because that was in Dirty Harry, and the owner was going to call his gun Dirty Harry. My expert said, no way. That weapon is so powerful, even in a rubber backstop, it'll tear up the bullet and you can't do any ballistics on it. And then he came up with a brilliant suggestion. He said, why don't you make it a .45, because that's what Arnold Schwarzenegger used in The Terminator, and the guy could call his gun The Terminator. And I said, spot on, man. So Now it's no longer Dirty Harry, it's the Terminator.
This is terrific.
I love how that stuff happens. I love that.
I know, you wander down these trails, you never know where you're going to end up.
I have a chainsaw in one of my books that he calls his Treminator.
This is what I love about this show is right when I'm about to wrap it up, now the good stuff starts coming out. It's good to see you both. And you've given me hope too, Lolo, because you talked about not making any money in the books, but sell that swag. Lolo Page, Stan Jones, thanks for joining us. Let's give a warm Big Alaska Show thank you and continued success. Stick around. When we come back, we're going to play a couple of clips from podcasts for both Lolo Page and Stan Jones right after this important message. As we say, anyone who gives us money, we call friend, and the more money, the better the friend. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Neighbors Windows and Doors. They're Alaska's window experts for windows, doors, shower doors, affordable glass replacement. Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tunnel or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. We were talking earlier to our guest, Lolo Page and Stan Jones, authors whose books you can find in our Big Alaska Show book review section. Just go to bigalaskashow.com. And earlier, we were getting a little update of what they've been doing lately, but we wanted to go back to some of their books that you can find on our book review section and podcasts associated with them. And here's a little fun podcast clip from the past with Lolo Page and Stan Jones. And welcome to the Big Alaska Show. This is our book review section panel here. We're talking about Stan Jones has a new book, and we want to catch up with Stan. And joining us is Lolo Page, who is an author, and Chris Lundgren, who's an author. Let us give a Big Alaska Show welcome to Stan, Lolo, and Chris. And Stan, let's start with you, because the last time we had you on, we discussed your book, Tundra Kill, and give us an update on what's been happening with that. It's been several months since we talked.
Yeah. Well, there's not a lot new on Tundra Kill, but the most hopeful thing I'm aware of, as you may recall, Tundra Kill is about a gorgeous female Alaska governor who becomes a murder suspect. So she is not modeled on Sarah Palin, of course. But I did observe with some enthusiasm that Sarah has begun hinting about running against Lisa Murkowski next year for Senate. And I can only think that will boost the sales of Tundra Kill. And I will certainly do all in my power to make that happen.
Are you going to change your position that says this has purely coincidence?
I think I'll say it's purely fortuitous. So after Tundra Kill was a book called The Big Empty that actually I think had come out when we talked last. And just out at the middle of last month was a new Nathan Active book. That's the name of the mystery series called Ghostlight. That's the big news in my book world.
I want to get to that, but tell briefly what Tundra Kill is about. Just a quick synopsis of that.
Sure. Well, it's set in the fictional Inupiat Eskimo village of Chukchi, which is closely modeled on Kotzebue, where I used to live. And the protagonist of the series, Nathan Active, is the regional borough police chief. At the time frame in which this installment of the series was set, a woman named Helen Mercer is the governor of Alaska. And instead of being from Wasilla, she actually is from Chukchi. So she comes back to town, somebody dies, Nathan starts to suspect that she may have been involved, and she starts to try to take him out through the Alaska State Troopers and various investigations to try to shut down his investigation. So the book is a fencing match between him and her. And not only does she use all the legal tools at her disposal against him, she also tries to seduce him. Can't remember all the details now, but maybe at some point even accuses him of attacking her. It's a definite melodrama with a forced landing in icy conditions in the middle of it.
Wow.
Now, Lolo and Chris, when you hear this kind of all this intrigue, what comes to your mind when you're listening to Stan describe his book? Lolo, what comes to your mind?
I love that he chose the governor for a character, because I wrote a crime thriller where I kidnapped the governor's daughter. There's just all kinds of things you could do with Alaska and what goes on here. And like we were talking earlier with the news gives me a lot of my ideas. I mean, you know, and I'll just jot them down and then you can just morph them into whatever you want into fiction.
I can see a new series called The Assembly. Chris, what comes to your mind when you were hearing Stan describe? I mean, Lois is over there talking about the different intrigue and the different kind of web of characters that you can take this.
I've had the good fortune of being part of Stan's critique group for a long time. So I got to read some of these as he was writing them. I loved that book. I loved Tundra Kill. And we had lots of good conversations about it. What jumped to mind this time was the forced landing in a snowstorm of an airplane and remembering how gripping that was. And then also thinking of that in context of my own book with Accidental Adventures. And that certainly was an accidental adventure for Stan's character.
The only difference is yours are real.
Yeah. Yeah.
That story in Tundra Kill about the forced landing was semi-real, because it happened to a bush pilot friend of mine on a flight up near Nome. And he was going out to one of the islands near Nome, maybe, I can't remember which one. Anyway, on the way back, he encountered mixed rain and ice in the clouds or something, and the plane iced up, just trying to get it back to the shoreline before he made a forced landing. And he just came in right above the waves and finally hit the beach and put it down and landed, and everybody survived. But it was essentially that story that I adapted into the book, and I even got permission from him to use it.
Wow.
It was going to be so close to his description. And he, by the way, has written a series of wonderful books about Alaska bush flying called Cloud Dancers Alaska Aviation Chronicles. And he might actually be worth getting on the show sometime. He lives in Fairbanks and was in radio in Kotzebue when I was there. He has a beautiful voice and he's a born storyteller, either in speech or in his book. So, he's a wonderful writer.
Now, you have a new book, Stan. Tell us what it is and what's it about.
It's called Ghost Life. The story starts when a demented old Native woman named Tommy Leacock, her family can't completely manage her. So every so often she gets out of the house and wanders around Chukchi, that's the name of the village in the series, in the middle of the night. And one night she starts bringing back body parts. And so begins Nathan Active's investigation. The problem is she can't tell him where she's getting these parts because she's demented. He doesn't really have the forces, the manpower or officer power to follow her around every time she gets out. Plus, he doesn't know every time she gets out. So he first has to figure out a way to sort of track her when she needs to be tracked to find out where this body is. And is it a murdered body? It could be a grave has just opened up with erosion or dogs or foxes digging. He doesn't know what he's got on his hands. So when he does find the body, turns out it has been expertly dismembered and hidden in a certain place. And still no clue as to how it got there or who put it there. That's what the book is about, finding out who put it there and what led up to the murder. You can see I had a co-writer, Patricia Watts. It's called Ghost Life for a couple of reasons. One is it takes place in August in Chukchi, which is just above the Arctic Circle. And at that time of year, it never gets completely dark. When the sun gets low, you get this kind of ghostly gray light. And she wanders around in this light and does all these. It's kind of a nocturnal book. And the other one is it's kind of a metaphor for the mental fog in which this woman operates. And there's an anecdote about how this book came to be I'd like to share. For a long time, I carried on a pen pal correspondence with a very elderly woman in Tennessee who was a Nathan fan. And her name was Tommy Leonard. And once she wrote me a letter and she said, I think you should write a book about an old woman who finds a body walled up in a house. And I said, well, why not? That's as good an idea as anything else. So I did that. And Tommy and I were in touch for a long time. And every time I did a book, I'd send it to her in manuscript so she could read it. And by the time I got this one ready, she was really old and in frail health. And so I sent it to her, and she died not long after, sadly. Wow. But at least she did get to see the book, and the book is dedicated to her. Her name was Tommy Leonard. And when I told her that she was kind of the model for this old lady, and the old lady was named Tommy Leacock, she started signing her letters that way, Tommy Leacock.
Well, that's awesome. What a great story. It was just great. What a kind gesture. Good for you. Mm-hmm. By the way, where can we get these books? Where can we get your books, Dan?
Well, I don't know which bookstores carry it, but I know, all I know for sure is where it is online. And it's available online everywhere, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and it's available in hardcover, paperback, and ebook. And an audiobook is in the works and should be out sometime relatively soon, hopefully by the end of the year.
Okay. Yeah. By the way,
I haven't checked the Anchorage Barnes & Noble, but in the past they've always carried them. So I should run up there and check and talk to them if they don't have it, actually.
Okay, great. Now let's switch gears and let's go to our panel. And let's start with you, Lolo Page. Last time we saw you, it was at Wasilla at the book signing for your second book. And I see all sorts of little announcements and this and that. I mean, you go ape.
Oh, it's been fun. Yeah, this one was about the fires on the Kenai Peninsula, loosely based on that. I had pulled my readers from the first book, Alaska Spark, and they wanted to see, you know, which characters to bring forward. And so they liked the exotic dancer and my Playboy guy, firefighter. So I put those two in the second book and I had to research exotic dancing. And of course, my husband thought it was weird when I'm watching lap dance videos, but hey, he didn't question it, you know. Yeah, it's doing really well. It just showed up in Publishers Weekly. I was so excited. In the book live section, Publishers Weekly has this for indies. And so that was fun. I pulled my readers again for the third book and they wanted sled dogs in it. So McKinley Fire came to mind. So that's what I'm working on now. But Inferno's doing really well. I'm really pleased.
As I mentioned, the book is called Inferno and you can find it also on our BigAlaskaShow.com website in the book review section. I got busted by my wife, Amy. You were calling an exotic dancer and I called it a pole dancer.
Well, the exotic dancer that I interviewed for helped me write that character, she said, well, we call it exotic dancing. We don't call it stripping anymore. That's so 70s.
Yeah, really. You know, we're guys. We'll go along with that. Well, you bet. Whatever you want to call it.
I just have to say, Lolo, if I had been your husband, I would have been happy to accompany you to any number of exotic dance clubs if you actually want to do your research on scene.
I'm with Stan. It's a form of respect, right, Stan?
Absolutely.
Well, he thought I was going and watching those to do it for him. It's research. It's research.
Oh, you know. Yeah. The book you're working on right now, do you have sort of a tentative date that you will eventually have this done?
This one's going slower because I have two other novels, two other series I'm launching, and I sent those two off to traditional publishers. I have one, a crime thriller, and another one's a romantic comedy. And so they're sitting with two trad publishers to see if they're going to publish them. So I got a slow start on this Alaska Blaze.
It's always fun to talk to you and you're such an inspiration because you work so hard at both writing and helping market it and you get out there and just do all sorts of things. Chris Lundgren, I want to come to you before our time runs out. We haven't had a chance to catch up with you since your book, which we can find at the BigAlaskaShow.com website there, the book review section, Accidental Adventures, Alaska, True Tales of Ordinary People Facing Danger in the Wilderness. And you shared the one story about this one young woman. It reminded me of a Wile E. Coyote. It wasn't enough that this happened, but then the ledge falls on her. Notice how I laugh at the misfortune of others.
I think the term for that is schadenfreude.
Is what?
Schadenfreude. Pleasure taken at the misfortune of others.
So, that's our show. We want to encourage you to go to our Big Alaska Show book review section. You'll find Alaskan books by Alaskan authors and interviews with them where they talk about their books in their own words. The thing that really impresses me about Alaskan authors is you realize they've lived the Alaskan dream. They are the true reality series. and to hear from their lips makes it that much more special. And we encourage you to buy their books, too. As we say, anyone who gives us money, we call friend, and the more money, the better the friend. And to my baby girl, love you, and Mike Ford, why don't you take us out as you so eloquently do?
All right, Uncle Steve, we want to thank our guests, Stan and Lolo, for joining us. We want to thank you for listening, and we want to thank our sponsors, Neighbors Windows and Doors, Alaska's window experts at 6251 Tuttle, or online at neighborswindowsanddoors.com, and Big Alaska Show Blend, the intense early morning coffee to cut through the early morning fog. Visit BigAlaskaShowBlend.com. Remember, if it's Big Alaska Guests, Big Alaska Adventures, and no good lying through your tooth tall Alaska tales, it's gotta be the Big Alaska Show. Have a great week, everybody.